All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to let you in on a little secret. The entire sex industry, from pornography to legal prostitution, it is just so obvious and clear, if you're paying attention, that it's one big blackmail operation. And speaking of blackmail operations, Megyn Kelly is committing a crime in broad daylight. She is beginning to just ask questions about Israel. We all know where that ends up. It's pretty exciting. Also, lastly, you're not going to believe me, but the journalist that softball interviewed Macron yesterday, it turns out that he too was accused of being a sexual deviant, approaching young men on social media, offering them mentorship and job positions, and sleeping with some of them. Yeah, it's apparently just too difficult to ask the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, to work with people who are not tainted by allegations of sexual impropriety. Welcome back to Candace. Okay, so here's my pledge to you. One day in the future, if you agree to elect me dictator of the United States, because I am not running for president, I will be running for dictator. I'm not dealing with Congress. They're all blackmailed. I will run for dictator. But if you agree to elect me as dictator, we're going to do all sorts of things. And one of those things is we are going to use our military might to swoop into France, get into Paris, maybe the Élysée Palace, and rescue President Macron, who I believe might be Stockholmed at this moment. It is just crazy looking at this story. Again, he is not aging well. But I couldn't believe this. You're not going to believe me. I always say that. When I start an episode with "you're not going to believe me," it's because you probably are going to believe me, especially if it's involving France. But I was shocked yesterday, I must say, when people began emailing us, informing us that the journalist from the Paris match interview, you remember Darius Rochebin, that was the journalist that Emmanuel selected to give an interview to regarding this lawsuit against me. Well, Darius Rochebin was accused by young men in Switzerland of sexual deviancy, and the story is wild. Okay, so first and foremost, to remind you, this is the article from Paris match yesterday. President Macron, "I want to enforce the truth," he says. Oh, okay. And that article is now being pushed, I assume, by his comms team, because they're trying to do this PR game, feeding it to the global media. Today, it's in the London Times. They're citing it to Macron. "Why I had to sue U.S. influencer Candace Owens." Like, oh, this is his brave moment. He's sitting down and opening up to Darius Rochebin. Then we suddenly, my team, we received a flurry of emails yesterday from people in Europe informing us that Darius Rochebin was investigated by three journalists in Switzerland and was very credibly accused of sexual impropriety. And so we said, okay, let's look into the story. Maybe he just got swept up in the Me Too moment, you know, because I'm against Me Too. But no, that is not this, you guys. And the story is crazy. It's sheer insanity. I honestly do believe sometimes I'm making it up, but I'm not making it up. Okay, ready? So foremost, just so you know, here is the headline in Le Temps. You can see it says RTS, Darius Rochebin, and the law of silence. That's the headline. This isn't coming from Candace Owens. This has been out there since 2020. And I'm going to take you through what happened here. He did sue the media group for defamation, but then he rather mysteriously dropped his lawsuit and the media group doubled down on their reporting. We'll get to that. Anyways, at the time, Darius Rochebin was living in Switzerland and he was the flagship presenter on Swiss radio television. Okay, like this is their Andy Cooper. He was their star journalist. But then suddenly what happened in 2020 was that young men came forward and the journalists began working on this story, claiming that they had been targeted by a female online persona that Darius Rochebin was pretending to be. They alleged that Darius created fake accounts pretending to be young women and approaching them. He had these fake lady account names. He was Leticia and he was also Leah, but apparently he was more active on social media pretending to be a woman, young woman named Leticia. Now, I should make it clear that these allegations are from around 2012. It's when they said that this happened. So Darius at that time was a 46-year-old man posing as a young female student at the University of Geneva to attract teenage boys to respond. Okay. And that's just the beginning, because it's going to get even more weird, I promise you. As this fake lady college student persona, Letitia, he was into humiliating himself. Okay. So Letitia, who's actually Darius, pretending to be a college student, would slide into the DMs of young men like this boy, Samuel, who came forward for this story. And then he would immediately, as he starts conversation with them, begin trash talking Darius Rochebin. So trash talking himself, the presenter, but he's pretending, I can't make this up. He's pretending to be a college student woman, but he's trash talking himself, Darius Rochebin. Samuel, the teenager that came forward, said that he was just 16 years old when he was targeted as Letitia. He said that he was 17, but he was just 16, about to turn 17. He told Letitia, I'm 17. And he says that Letitia immediately told him about Darius Rochebin's small penis. So Darius Rochebin is pretending to be Letitia, and he just starts talking about Darius Rochebin's small penis. Samuel says that he tried to figure out what it was that Samuel thought about Darius. He asked him about his age. Samuel then said, I'm 17 years old. Of course, he was rounding his age up. And then the next day, after beginning this conversation with Letitia, suddenly the teenager, Samuel, receives a Facebook invitation from the real Darius Rochebin. Just to be clear, they're both the real Darius Rochebin, but the teenager doesn't know that. He thinks he's talking to a girl, and she's talking about Darius Rochebin, but now the real Darius Rochebin, the 46-year-old presenter, is inviting him to be friends. So this 17-year-old kid is like, okay, that is a really bizarre coincidence. I've got this hot young chick who I think likes me, maybe, talking about this guy, and now this guy's reaching out to me. And he then says that he tells the presenter immediately, because this guy's famous, right? That's like a very famous guy. So you're like, hey, just so you know, there's this Letitia chick is talking about you. And Darius tells him, oh, Letitia, that's a girlfriend of my ex. She's hot, right? She's hot as embers, he said, apparently. Exactly said, she's hot as embers. And then he encourages the 17-year-old to try his luck. He's like, you should go for Letitia, who's secretly Darius. They then begin conversing for more than a year. So he's talking to Darius Rochebin, but he's also speaking to Letitia, who's also Darius Rochebin. I'm laughing because this is insane. What happens next is Darius Rochebin, according to Samuel, is increasingly interested in Samuel's life. He offers Samuel the opportunity to visit him backstage at RTS because he's a big presenter, and promises that he'll give him professional advice. Samuel tells this publication that Darius, quote, established a form of camaraderie between us. He adopted the language of a friend. He gave me flirting advice. Okay, flirting with presumably Letitia. At the same time, Letitia, who this poor teenager has no idea is also Darius Rochebin, suggests to Samuel that he should start spreading rumors about Darius. So Darius, pretending to be Letitia, is telling this Samuel kid that he should spread rumors about Darius, specifically about Darius's penis. And he strives by all means to also figure out, again, posing as Letitia, what the size of Samuel's penis is. Disturbing, I know. But Samuel never gives this up. And over time, Samuel becomes suspicious and he starts to doubt that Letitia's a real person. And Letitia's still flooding him with messages. So he turns to Darius, who he thinks is his friend, and opens up about his doubts. He's like, look, I know you, Letitia, you're saying she's your ex, but like, I don't think this is a real person. And she's asking me to spread these rumors about you. So the presenter, Darius, the real Darius, immediately reassures the college student, like, no, like this is, she is, quote, he says, I think she exists, but she's being instrumentalized by my ex. So like, you can keep communicating with her as she's speaking about my small parts and encouraging you to say things about my small parts. Like he's taking part in like a humiliation ritual of himself. I don't know how else to say this. Anyways, despite Darius's reassurances, Samuel is sound of mind and decides he's no longer going to respond to Letitia and any of her requests. And I'm just imagining this kid coming to the realization that both of these accounts were being controlled by Darius, the presenter, who he thinks is some big celebrity who's just trying to help him. And to be clear, that is just one example, okay, that I have time to tell you about. This was an explosion of many people came forward, employees, female, male, some that claimed that they had sex with him. The full article is a must read, okay? Because this is some sort of a strange kink of pretending to be a young college student, and they really get into how he did that many times over in the article. Actually, I want to read you guys this one passage from that article. It reads, quote, "The process put in place by Darius Rochebin obeys a precise system, both on the approach and on the targeted persons. They are, for the most part, young students, trainee journalists, or engaged in politics, individuals who one day or another could need the media and who at first glance have every reason to be flattered that Darius Rochebin is interested in them. Conversations with the host regularly lead to the invitations to visit the RTS premises or even to speak on the newsread set. The first contact often comes after a first event or a student debate in which Darius Rochebin participates as a distinguished guest. Most of the time, the internet users contacted believe that they are talking to two distinct people, Darius Rochebin and a young student, either Letitia Crower, one of his identities, or Leah Magnin. They do not know that the presenter is actually conducting these two discussions at the same time. Systematically, the star presenter, disguised as these young women, invites his interlocutor to spread rumors about himself." Quote, and they're quoting here from alleged message, "Do you know that Darius has a mini dick? The mini kiki does not exceed the size of his hand in full action. It's a thimble, and insists on the need to talk about it." Guys, first off, what is a kiki? Okay, separately, he is literally spreading rumors about his own parts, trying to get teenagers to say these things publicly about his parts. And he's simultaneously pretending to be these women and also being himself, like a split personality of sorts. That's fair, right? To say that's like a split personality sort of where like you're embodying this woman, but also embodying this presenter man and into trying to get these people to publicly humiliate you. What is happening? What is happening? And I will give you what happened thereafter. Like I said, it was an explosion. Many people that came forward and spoke about some people saying he had groped them, some men saying, "I slept with him," this pattern. You can read this article. We will link it in the comments. So this all happened, just to be sure, in 2020. This exploded, okay? He then leaves RTS at the beginning of 2020. And then at the end of 2020 is when the story explodes. In December of that same year, he files a lawsuit against the publication for defamation. His lawyer says that he firmly denies having engaged in criminally reprehensible acts. But then, apparently that was just a little bit of PR, because a few months later, in 2021, he withdraws the lawsuit rather mysteriously. And his lawyer presents to the public as though they had come to some sort of agreement, like, oh, we resolve this with the shareholder of the media group, but that couldn't say how it was resolved. He cited the confidentiality, like, oh, like we settled this and like it's a confidential settlement kind of a thing. Like, we can't really say more. But the publication, no, they clapped back, okay? In a statement, they made it clear that not only do they stand by their reporting, but they also never removed or apologized or issued any kind of retraction or correction. In fact, quite the opposite. They awarded the journalists for the press award of the year, okay? This is their statement. It reads, "Le Temps," that's the publication, "takes note of the withdrawal of Darius Rochebin's complaint following the article." They named the article "Darius Rochebin and the Law of Silence." "Le Temps is not a party to the agreement relayed by the media and does not know the content of it. The same goes for its owner, the Avotinus Foundation. The article in question remains unchanged. Le Temps recalls that the quality of this journalistic work was rewarded with two Swiss press awards." End statement. None of that was problematic for France. Zero. Nope. Going, reading that article, being aware of this weird kink of wanting to present as a woman, a young college student, but also being Darius Rochman, wanting that person to humiliate you, France said, you know what? We like that resume. That actually works for us. This was not only fine with France, but it did not even bear, like, they didn't even pause and reflect on whether or not this individual should perhaps be banned from access to the president of France, right? Instead, they put him on a jet. This is in the other day. That's Darius Rochman with the president of France, with Emmanuel Macron, flying over here to America, where the president of France has just filed a lawsuit against a journalist pertaining to him alleging that it's defamation. There's no sexual perversity going on here in France. Don't believe me? Listen to me open up to this journalist who just got accused of sexual perversity in Swiss 5 years ago. Like, this is the perfect person for me to be photographed with as I present to the global world that I'm totally legit, above board. How is this possible? This is maddening. It truly is. It's crazy. There's a part of this that I wonder if it's kinky for them. Like it's like exhibitionist. Like, you want us to know, like, ha ha, funny. See what we're doing here? We're sitting down with this guy and talking about how we are not sexual perverts and we are going to get to the bottom of the truth here. And yeah, just trust us. Just trust us. It is, like I said, I every time we find out something, it just gets crazier and it gets crazier. And now that we have been able to reach out to so many people and get more information, I am sorry to tell you this, but be excited, because we are now ready to begin Becoming Brigitte season 2. I think it's now the right time. So much is happening in this moment. And also because you know that part of them following this lawsuit was to intimidate me, was to try to silence me. And I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to be silenced. I'm not going to be fearful of perverts that have power. And the only thing I'm fearful of is the press. I'm disgusted by the press that is not doing their due diligence and realizing what is happening here, to realize how big this goes, how far this extends, that the press could continue to collude to cover up these tracks. I suppose it makes perfect sense when you look into a story like Darius Rochman and realize that this man, well, he's been damn near given a promotion. He's now flying with the president of France. Could you imagine being the teenager, by the way, that came forward, all the many teenagers that came forward, spoke about what was happening, and you now are seeing that person who confused you, like, was asking you questions, at least according to the allegations in Le Temps, was asking you questions about your body parts. You're now seeing him flying around with the president of France. What does that signal to the rest of the world? Genuinely, what are they trying to signal to the rest of the world? I think it's ha ha ha, na 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 boo boo. There's nothing that you can do about it. But there is something we can do about it. Information is power. Knowledge is power. And the Becoming Brigitte series is going to have more explosive revelations. But given there's so much incoming from people that are telling us more, we decided that next week we're going to go dark as we prepare for the season. So next week we'll be off air, but we will be back the week after. We'll still have an episode tomorrow, so don't worry about that. But I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. And obviously you'll have to stay tuned, because the story only gets crazier every day. I know you guys are excited that we're bringing back Becoming Brigitte. And we'll also bring back Xavier Pissard. Okay, before we get into this next story, which is just so interesting, Megyn Kelly, I'm loving this. I know what's going to happen next, but I'm just loving knowing what's going to happen next. And when it happens, the inevitable happens, obviously we will have to defend Megyn Kelly. Before we get to that, there are some of our sponsors. First and foremost, Riverbend Ranch. I know they also sponsor her show as well. I've been talking a lot about Riverbend Ranch because I love their steaks. Black Angus beef is famous for its great flavor. But Riverbend Ranch has taken Black Angus beef to a whole new level. Over the last 35 years, Riverbend Ranch has been creating an elite Angus herd by using ultrasound technology to select genetically superior cattle. With a focus on flavor and tenderness, each year Riverbend Ranch provides about 850 elite Black Angus bulls containing these special genetics to over 260 Western U.S. ranches. Those partnership ranches receive a substantial premium from Riverbend Ranch for raising those calves without the use of growth hormones or without any antibiotics, and that's really important. And Every fall, the calves containing these elite genetics return to the Riverbend Ranch to spend the following summer in the lush mountain pastures. So when you purchase from Riverbend Ranch, you're not only supporting the 64 cowboys plus their families who work on the ranch, but you're also supporting over 260 other U.S. ranches and the hundreds of American families who work on those ranches, which is so important. It is born here in the USA. It is raised here in the USA, and it is processed right here in the USA. Their meat is aged to perfection, I promise you, for 21 days, and is shipped directly from their ranch to your home. This is not your average Black Angus beef. This is more flavorful and more tender than even the best Angus beef that I've ever tasted. I promise, once you have one, you're just going to keep ordering it. That's just the way it's going to work. I promise. Right now, if you head over to riverbendranch.com and use promo code Candace at checkout, you'll get $20 off your first order. Trust me, you're going to be very impressed. Visit riverbendranch.com and use promo code Candace at checkout. Also, regarding American financing, if you've been living on credit cards just to cover groceries, gas, bills, then you know that those interest rates are brutal. Why keep paying 20% or more to the banks when you could call my friends in American financing? They have mortgage rates that are in the fives, and they are showing people every day how to keep more of their hard-earned money. Keep that in your pocket and out of the hands of credit card companies. Right now, American Financing is helping homeowners save an average of $800 a month by using their home equity to wipe out high interest debt with no upfront fees, no obligation, and just a 10-minute call to a salary-based mortgage consultant. And here's the kicker. If you start today, you can delay 2 mortgage payments, putting even more cash in your hands right away. So do not wait. Call American Financing now at 800-795-1210. That's 800-795-1210. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. That's AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. All right, you guys. To quote Dave Smith, actually, because he tweeted something, and I'm paraphrasing it, probably quite awfully. But Dave Smith was basically speaking about the pattern of individuals who throughout their entire career are generally pro-Israel. Like, they have no issues with Israel. They've done nothing that would signify that they had issues with Israel. Someone like me, you know, like working for PragerU, quite literally like a Zionist organization. Marissa, who is the CEO, was in the IDF, served in the IDF. No issues with Israel, obviously. And then suddenly they critique Israel in one little regard, and it's like, oh my gosh, the wolves come after them. They're being accused of anti-Semitism. Their lives are being destroyed. They're being told, don't do this thing, or we will destroy you. It's kind of implicit. I mean, one question. If you ask just one wrong question, suddenly it feels like a gang emerges, and they're like, you sure you want to go this way? You sure you want to do that? Because we will just harm you and assassinate every element of your life. I went through this last year. I survived it. Well, Megyn Kelly is committing the crime that you were not allowed to commit. It's unsayable. I can't believe she's going to do it. She is just asking questions. No, Megyn, no! Don't do it! If you want things, look at me, Megyn Kelly. If you want things to stay the same, if you want to feed your kids, don't you dare just ask questions about Israel. And if you're feeling pressure, don't speak about that pressure that you're feeling, because that's the worst kind of anti-Semitism, is noticing that we are pressuring you and you feel like your entire life is being threatened right now and you're not sure why. Yeah. Sign Bibi Netanyahu, your greatest ally and friend. Okay, well, listen to Megyn Kelly. She had on Marjorie Taylor Greene on her show, and they're just asking questions. Take a listen.
I have absolutely no skin whatsoever in defending any lobbyist group, including AIPAC.
Right.
So I would love to know what they do to get the loyalty of politicians, because I will say I have had multiple reach outs to me, both from friends and from connected people in D.C., begging me to go to Israel with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said no every time. I'm just too busy. I have 3 kids. I have a full-time job.
Like, sure.
I'm not doing it. But lately, it seems like it's coming to be even more, because I feel like there's a contingent of people who are worried that they're losing me.
Uh-huh.
And I've said that you're not losing. I'm not on Hamas's side.
No, God, no. Nobody's on Hamas's side.
But it's been a while now that this has been going on.
Right.
And we're getting more involved with the Iranian bombing and so on.
Sure.
And my own feelings are I'm looking at Israel in a different way right now than I was on 10/8, that's for sure, of 23.
Right.
And I can feel the pressure being slightly ratcheted up, like you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see people like you, like Tucker, who I know Tucker. I've known him for years. And I've seen you in your early career. I know you have nothing against Israel.
Oh, gosh, no. They
never mind Jews. Yeah. That's all a lie. But
right.
And I see the beatdowns coming.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not allowed. Like, you have to stay right on this lily pad.
Yes.
And you cannot jump to another neighboring lily pad because it could take you all the way down the river away.
That's
so
right.
I'm very interested in this dynamic.
Look, Meg, you got two choices, okay? You continue down this path and everything is, you will be over. We will contact your sponsors. We will have all of our homies in the media say that you are crazy, that you fell on a incident has never been worse. I can't believe this. Oh my gosh, I just survived another Holocaust listening to Megyn Kelly. Or your other option is to take a flight to Poland and take a picture in front of, you know, Auschwitz to show that you've learned your lesson here about asking questions. You could also go to a Holocaust museum. That's acceptable. If you can't make it out, okay. If you can't make it to Israel, you probably can't make it to Poland either. But you can also go find a local Holocaust museum and take a photo in front, you and your kids, to show that you realize how harmful it was for you to ask questions. You hear me, Megan? Because we're your friends. We're your allies, Meg. We love you, Meg, so much that we just have to threaten your entire life to save you, to save you. I cannot tell you guys, I know the night that they pressed the button. Like, I know how this works, okay? It's the ADL in the background. They're working with the left and the right. Do not think the ADL is like a leftist publication. It's like they control a whole network, okay? And I remember the conversation. I was sitting on a plane. I had just done Tucker's show. What was that, 2 years ago? I did Tucker's show. And we were sitting down there. We were discussing all these things. I was properly about to give birth. It was November, actually. And I get this text from somebody who's Zionist, who I've been friends with for a long time. And they quite literally wrote in the text, like, you don't want to go down this route or I can't protect you. And I wrote back, all right, I'm being 100% honest here, guys. I swear to you, on everything I love, this is what happened. I wrote back and I said, look, I'm not a little girl. You know, I know what I'm saying. I know what I believe. And I want to say that. The next day I woke up and I promise you, one day I will reveal these messages. I promise you, it was like my whole life had been stripped away. Like, it was like, that was the final, like, we can save you. We're your friends and you're out. We love you. Don't make us do this. And then the button got pressed and my life was over. So Meg, it's one or the other. You're right. You can't jump on one lily pad that's just asking a question, like a general question. Like, if you start saying like, what is AIPAC? That could be grounds for them having to effectively ruin your entire life. So you just tread very carefully, young lady, okay? Very carefully. Further to that point, interesting what's going on. Obviously, I covered this yesterday, what's happening in Vegas. This guy on a trip meets with some NSA officials, right? He's an Israeli and he works for a cyber network. And this guy, Tom Alexander Novick, it just decides he's going to try to sleep with a child. And they catch him, as well as eight others, after he had met with some NSA officials. And for whatever reason, which they're going to tell us the reason, he gets released. Not only does he get released and make bail, which is just $10,000, which basically says, I'll come back. He then gets on a plane and goes to Israel. Now there's like a finger-pointing game. But it turns out, this is a little interesting, that the U.S. District Attorney in Nevada as Mark says, Nevada. We were debating this. I say Nevada. I'm from Connecticut. He says Nevada. But she was born in Israel. And this is not a joke. She was actually born in Israel. And I'm beginning to ask, and I know I've already committed the sin of asking questions. Let's just talk about what Vegas is. A city of vice, right? They say to you, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And I'm thinking maybe what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas, because we know that this is a city where there is rampant prostitution. They encourage people, oh, this is where you want to go for your bachelorette, when you just when you get married. And when you think about Vegas, a city that the empire of gambling was built upon, your mind kind of goes to Miriam and Sheldon Adelson. Sheldon Adelson, who put together gambling resorts, has won contracts for gambling resorts all throughout the world. What is it? He owns the Sands, like Las Vegas Sands Corporation. And you really start to feel not that comfortable, given the fact that he's on camera saying how loyal he is to Israel, that his biggest regret in life is that, you know, he didn't serve in the IDF like his wife Miriam did. And you just begin to think to yourself, everything that's being introduced by Zionists, right, and into our society, gambling, a major vice, guess what's not legal, okay? What's not legal in Israel, where he has his undying loyalty, I should have his past tense because Sheldon Adelson is recently passed, but it's illegal. Slot machines are illegal in Israel. Pornography, hardcore pornography, introduced laws passed, fought, convincing Americans this is a matter of free speech, introduced by people that were allegiant to Israel. And yet, miraculously, for a very long time, pornography was banned in Israel. I think they're still trying to pass rules to ban it. You essentially have to like register if you want pornography, like write to your cable company or something. Skylar, we should pull up an article because they'll say this isn't true. Look up, is porn legal in Israel? So what they are giving to other countries as gifts, they don't want in their own country. Why is that? If it's so fun, if gambling is so fun and they're fighting to get these laws passed in America, why not fight to get that passed? Freedom of speech, pornography, gambling, whatever it is. Why not keep that exact same energy when it comes to Israel? I think if I had to guess a reason why, the reason why it feels like, you know, the questions that she's asking, like it feels like it can't say anything bad. You can't start asking questions about Israel is because they know that these vices are being used to control us. Truly, you guys, if you look at the history of pornography, it is undeniable because they have explicitly said it, right? Al Goldstein explicitly said, we Jews love pornography because we hate Catholics and we hate Jesus and allows us to crush the church. That's a direct quote on his Wikipedia, Al Goldstein, a person who had a federal case and fought for obscenity laws to be removed. What's happening here? Wake up, pay attention to what's happening. We learned in school about pornography. I remember learning it's healthy to watch pornography. Now I'm going back and I'm like, was that during the time when Robert Maxwell was printing the textbooks, when he got together and decided to print textbooks for American students? Were we learning that these vices are healthy? It's just a little bit of pornography. It's good. It's healthy for a sexual relationship. We were learning this in health class. I now reflect and I realize how disturbing that is, right? They are trying to get you addicted to one of your vices early on. And whether that vice is drugs, prostitution, sex, pornography, they want to make you guys think that this culture is okay because then they can subjugate your culture. And that is exactly what seems to be happening. I'm saying it for you, Megyn Kelly, honestly. I'm telling you where you will end up when you start to realize that pressure. And yes, by the way, I would like to confirm what she is saying because obviously I still have a lot of Zionist friends, people who still support Israel. I don't know why they support Israel. I think it's crazy. But they tell me. They have told me they are offering, like, it's insanity right now. They're fighting a war, but trying to fund every pastor, every influencer, every radio jock on an all-expenses-paid trip to Israel. Come see it. We love you. We need more allies. Why? Also, if we're wondering why Operation Mocking Pastor even happened, it's because they are putting these pastors on the trips to Israel, probably getting them drunk, if I had to guess. If they're able to execute so much blackmail in the United States, do you not think they have it locked down in Israel? You don't think they're like taking them out for a night of fun and drinking or something with these pastors in the South and then they own them? I don't know. I'm, again, just asking questions and surmising here. But I wouldn't want to go on an all-expenses trip paid to Israel in this moment, given everything that I know. And I've come a long way since being someone that actually supported Zionism. I actually hate my former self knowing what I was unwittingly supporting. And I was so uneducated about things. But I hope that I'm doing enough here with my platform to educate you guys on how it all works over there. Because it's completely and utterly ridiculous. By the way, speaking of which, this TikToker, it's just black memories on top of black memories. Do you guys remember those toys, those kiosks, right, that used to be in malls, and they would have all these like little fun toys? Like, I specifically remember this one that I'm about to show you. It was like a helicopter and it used to fly up. And my brother definitely had one of those. I think we just had a few of them in our house, that always the kiosks in the mall. Well, back when 9/11 happened, apparently there was this whole scandal that probably no one would remember about those kiosks and an entire ring that was exposed. This TikToker and Instagrammer, Wally Rashid, unpacks exactly what went down. And of course, Israel was involved. Take a listen.
Mossad uses mall kiosks in the U.S. as front companies while on intelligence operations. Yeah, this is it. Attorney Jessica Alber found dead in her home after uncovering Israelis illegally entered the U.S. to work at mall kiosks.
If you live in the United States, you might have remembered seeing the Zoomcopter toy kiosks in malls all across America in the early 2000s. Here's a video of one. If you're in your 20s or 30s, you might have remembered seeing these guys as a kid. They always tended to have a thick Israeli accent. And they let it fly up. What you might not know is that the Zoomcopter kiosks, especially in malls on the East Coast around 9/11, were actually front companies for Israeli intelligence gathering operations. Fox News actually did a four-part investigation on this in the early 2000s. They ended up taking it down, but I'm going to play a clip of it in a second. This is a declassified FBI document of the report as well. Numerous classified documents by Fox News indicate that even prior to September 11th, as many as 140 other Israelis had been detained or arrested in a secretive and sprawling investigation into suspected espionage by Israelis in the United States.
Another part of the investigation has resulted in the detention and arrests of dozens of Israelis at American mall kiosks, where they've been selling toys called Puzzle Car and Zoomcopter. Investigators suspect a front. Shortly after the New York Times and Washington Post reported the Israeli detentions last month, the carts began vanishing. Zoomcopter's webpage says, "We are aware of the situation caused by thousands of mall carts being closed at the last minute. This in no way reflects the quality of the toy or its saleability. The problem lies in the operator's business policies."
Documents say they targeted and penetrated military bases, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, dozens of government facilities, and even secret offices and unlisted private homes of law enforcement and intelligence personnel.
The majority of those questioned, quote, stated they served in military intelligence, electronic surveillance intercept, and or explosive ordnance units.
General Accounting Office investigation referred to Israel as Country A and said, according to U.S. intelligence agency, the government of Country A conducts the most aggressive espionage operation against the U.S. of any U.S. ally.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what to say to you guys if you're not understanding what's happening here. Not only should you not be going to Vegas, okay? Forget your bachelor or bachelorette party. I maybe also don't trust mall kiosks or something because this stuff has been going on. Like, they are so ahead of us. It's crazy. It's a very sophisticated network. And by the way, Wally Rashid, man, he took it way too far. If he's not at a Holocaust museum tomorrow taking a photo, it's over. Totally over for that kid, man, because, you know, you're not allowed to look back at history and start noticing a pattern that every time there's some blackmail operation, Israel is somehow involved. By the way, for good measure, I should let you guys know that U.S. attorney that was born in Israel for the District of Nevada, Sigal Chatta, I think I'm saying her name right, S-I-G-A-L, Sigal Chatta, she then came out and was like, oh, I can't believe a liberal district attorney and state court judge in Nevada failed to require an alleged child molester to surrender his passport, which allowed him to flee our country. The attorney general, Pam Bondi, just called me and she's outraged. And she also called the FBI director, Cash. The individual who fled our country should have had his passport seized by the state authorities. He must be returned immediately to face justice. I will tell you why I don't trust that. Okay, couple of things going on there. First and foremost, they responded, like the police responded and were like, I don't know what she's talking about. She knows what the rules are. It's $10,000 bail. That's what the law is here. We followed the law. And the person was then asked by a reporter, well, did you communicate with her office? And he won't say. He's just like, she's allowed to communicate to the press what she wants. There's always this element of theater where I'm like, I don't trust this. Like, oh my God, I'm pretending to be outraged that the Epstein files are not being like, oh my gosh, I'm pretending to be shocked, but you guys are still interested in Epstein. There's always this element of theater, the cult of the drama club that I keep speaking to you guys about that you perceive. So she's pretending to be shocked. The police responding going, what are you talking about? But also won't say. They were clear that they had a conversation with her. So some conversation took place. Was she involved in making sure he was released? And now she's being performative. Pam Bondi always acting like she can't do anything. You know, oh, Pam Bondi is shocked. She's almost like adding an alibi for Pam Bondi too. Because I tweeted yesterday and asked Pam Bondi if maybe she could stop defending, you know, Jewish students on campus, male students who are wearing IDF shirts if they're lightly shoved by a girl. Like, that would be a better thing for her to use her platform to speak about. I feel like she's kind of preventing a cover for her, like an alibi for her. And then you have Cash Patel. Like, you guys could do something about this if you really wanted to. And so pretending to be outraged is not really enough. Okay. Why don't you cut off the welfare state of Israel and stop sending them money? That would be the first thing. And said, you could say, give us back all of the pedophiles, because he's not the first one or the last one that they will be protecting as a policy. And then we'll consider whether or not we'll give you money. And then after you return the pedophiles and we make that consideration about whether we're going to give you money, we will determine, no, you're on your own. I don't know. That would be my suggestion. But Pam Bondi apparently always has her hands tied behind her back when it comes to this topic, this recurring theme of pedophilia and government. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Before I get to your comments, you guys, reminding you about Tax Network USA. If you are stressed about back taxes, you maybe missed the April deadline or your books are a mess, do not wait. The IRS is cracking down. Penalties add up fast, 5% per month, up to 25% just for not filing. But there is also help. Tax Network USA can take the burden off your shoulders and stop the spiral before it gets worse. They have helped thousands of Americans, whether you're an employee, a small business owner, or you haven't filed in years. They've seen it all and they know exactly how to clean it all up. With direct access to powerful IRS programs and expert negotiators on your side, Tax Network USA knows how to help you win. You'll get a free consultation, and if you qualify, they may even be able to reduce or eliminate what you owe. More importantly, they'll help protect you from wage garnishments or bank levies. So do not wait for the next IRS letter. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Candace. You may have missed the tax deadline, but you have not run out of options yet. Let Tax Network USA help by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Candace. Also remind you guys about Niemi Skincare, because back in 2020, when so many brands were taking political stances that they did not align, they wouldn't align with conservatives or they wouldn't align with our values, I started asking myself, why am I still supporting them if they don't support me? So I dug into the products that I was bringing into my home, especially skincare, and that's when I landed upon Niemi Skincare. They share our values and their products actually work. Niemi is conservative-owned, proudly American-made, and they're committed to clean standards, so you get skincare without compromise. One of my favorite skincare routines with Niemi is their clean transformation trio. You first start with their Pure Punch Protein Cleanser, which can help you remove makeup, SPF, and grime without stripping, while also nourishing with proteins and botanicals. Then you can use their Crystal Clear Toner. You guys know I love the toner, with glycolic and hyaluronic acid to smooth the texture, refine the look of pores, and deliver deep, lasting hydration. And then finally, you wrap it all up with age-defying antioxidant moisturizer, which is your daily shield with antioxidants that help fight fine lines, wrinkles, and environmental stress for firmer, brighter looking skin. So you can head right now over to NiemiSkincare.com and use code Candace10 and you'll get 10% off your entire order. With Niemi, you are again supporting faith, family, freedom, and you're getting effective skincare that delivers age-defying results. Again, that's NiemiSkincare.com. Use code Candace10. Okay, you guys, what are you thinking? I know you guys must be excited for Becoming Brigitte Season 2. Which Emmanuel was not banking on at all when he took the very bad advice of filing this lawsuit, because we're getting everybody involved. Everybody involved. Gohar writes, Candace, I adore you. Christ is king. Keep speaking the truth. We are here behind you every step. I know you guys are behind me every step of the way. By the way, thank you. That was a really big donation, Gohar. I know you guys are with us, and that's why we're doing this. Obviously, the media is not with us. Obviously, the government is not with us. They hate our guts because this has been going on for so long, and they have so much power, and they're just moving to this phase of gaslighting us about all of this. And like I said, we got to take a stand. We got to do it. We got to do it right now. This is Joanna writes, I love you, Candace. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much, Joanna. Crikey writes, McGraw-Hill Publishing is in trouble here in Florida for overcharging by millions. DeSantis spoke up about them and another publisher as well. Yeah, McGraw-Hill, by the way, you guys, just reminding you, that was who Robert Maxwell, he was essentially going to publish textbooks before he went missing. They say he was floating in the ocean. I don't know. I don't know what to believe when it comes to Israel after he robbed the pension. So yeah, there does tend to be a lot of financial irresponsibility when it comes to anything that Maxwell was interested in. They are our textbook publisher here in America. Skylar is noting that Florida is suing the textbook publisher, claiming that they overcharged schools. Yeah, like I said, that tracks. Gianna writes, hi, Candace, I've learned one thing from you. It's that we cannot trust a lot of our sources for history. Would you ever consider authoring a true factual history book? Probably not. I maybe would consider putting together something quick that would allow you to know, like, the biggest lies that they're telling you. you know, like just like a pocketbook sort of where you could just go through and then I would tell you what sources you should read because I am still a student. That's why I have the book club, like getting us to read these books together and to pull things together. I am amazed. I feel every week as I learn something new about how it's all been put together. And so I'm not ready to be the teacher. I can guide, you know, and say, this person taught me this, this person taught me that, this person did the due diligence on this, you know, Xavier Poussard on the Becoming Brigitte series. But I would not want to then say, well, I'm ready to be the teacher on this stuff unless I felt that I could really do it. What I do know is that we need to get our kids out of these school systems, 100%. And if you have the ability to, which we plan on doing once our children are of kindergarten age, you should homeschool your children. And if you don't think you have the ability to do it, you probably do. You might have to make some cuts to your lifestyle, but you probably can make that commitment because as soon as you hand them over to the school and the state, their minds are going to be just as warped as all of our minds have been. Nothing they told us is real. JSS Dev writes, I feel like the book Libido Dominandi, Sexual Liberation and Political Control by E. Michael Jones needs to be on our reading list. I did a whole interview with him. You guys should watch that. It is available on our website. It's also on Spotify. He is on the ADL's list for all the right reasons. Like I said, we should be reading that list and going, I should hire this person. And yeah, he goes deep into the history of pornography, taking it all the way back, of course, to France, Marquis de Sade, and he explains the theology even behind it, how they've always known that it was a spiritual weapon. He is a faithful Catholic, so check out that interview if you'd like an introduction to Libido Dominandi, which I think is Latin for dominating the libido. D. Mack writes, hey, Candace, love from Australia. Did you catch the article by Mike Borowski about the 23 French people that are taking Brigitte Macron to court? Also, do you have an update on your court case against our Supreme Visa Master? Obviously, we went to the Supreme Court of Australia to answer your second question there. And yeah, we are awaiting a decision. So it's just a holding game right now. We will obviously respect whatever it is that the Australian Supreme Court decides. We think it's a very important case. Candace Owens versus the Commonwealth of Australia versus Tony, I forgot the last name, of the guy that is just unilaterally banning people whenever he wants. He somehow has the power to do that. Praying for a win, not just for myself, but it's a bigger case. Praying for a win for Australians, obviously. I don't see the point in banning someone for speaking if they can download my podcast. We will see. And regarding your first question, the article by Mike Borowski, I actually did not. I will definitely look into it. I did hear that a lot of people are suing her potentially for stolen identity or something, but I didn't know if I was reading that chatter wrong on X. So I will get educated on that and report back on it. Atlas VBM writes, hey, Candace, can you please shout out my little sister, Valentina? She is your number one fan in Austria. The whole family watches you because of her and rocking our Man of the Year tees. Little sister Valentina, shout out to you. Happy birthday. Thank you so much. I love when you guys write me in the comments and say where you're watching from, by the way. It is like not even my guilty pleasure. It's really a pleasure to be able to see how we are unifying so many people and recognizing that all of our governments have been engaged in this level of corruption and sharing information like the Momni sleuths that came into the inbox and we're like standing at attention and we are going to Ohio. We will get the records for the Stanford prison. Like we have that happening now. And in the future, I think we do need to build this thing out, like to create a real network of us, like us literally being the agents in the world that can communicate with one another and pull information when we need to. And when we detect that a politician is lying, which they always are. So it's, you know, we'll be very busy, but it's going to take us. Obviously we have no faith in our politicians anymore. I think Epstein exposed them all, but I remain optimistic because in the end, truth wins. Christ is king. Nicole Bloomberg writes, you are definitely pronouncing Nevada wrong. I'm from Connecticut. You're not going to tell me nothing here, Nicole. I'm going to snap at Nicole. She writes, I've been debating my East Coast husband on this for 8 years. I am from Vegas. We all pronounce it the other way. Love you regardless. Prayers for you. No, Nicole, first and foremost, your husband is right. Your husband is so obviously right. He is leading the household in the right way. Us people from the East Coast, we know how it is pronounced, and it happens to be Nevada. And that's accurate, obviously, because we're New England, get it? It's the English language. We are the New English, and we know how to pronounce these things. Similarly, living here in Tennessee, there is, and Tennessee, oh my gosh, Tennesseans are going to be really mad at me here, but I got to call them out. There's a city here that is called Lebanon. Yeah, like Lebanon, like the country. And they tell us it's Lebanon. And if you say Lebanon, you will get laughed out of here. It's Lebanon. And then I say to Savannah, no, it's Lebanon. I will say Lebanon. I'm not saying Lebanon, okay? You can take the girl out of Connecticut, but you cannot take the Connecticut out of the girl, okay? The Connecticut dialect is here to stay. Therefore, to be clear, it is Lebanon and it is Nevada. Case closed. We'll see you tomorrow.